Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Game one of the NBA Finals was Thursday night, and the Raptors do take game one with the victory 118-109. Coming up game two, we'll see if the Golden State Warriors could even this series at one apiece on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We head out to the hotline right now, and we welcome in a longtime NBA coach, formerly the head man for the Bulls and the Timberwolves, and that's Tom Thibodeau, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Great to talk to you, and how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Zach.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we really do appreciate it. When I was looking at this series right before it did start, I was thinking, yes, you know Kawhi Leonard is going to show up, but the big key for the Raptors was going to be the production of Siakam and Gasol. Siakam goes for 32 in game one. It was an incredible performance. And then Gasol was hot in the first half. He finishes with 20 points. I guess the big question out of this game and moving forward is, do you think the Raptors can continuously get that consistent production out of a Siakam and a Gasol? Not to this extent, but still have them play big-time successful minutes and dominate.
Yeah, you know, I thought they played at a really high level. I thought they had an edge, and I thought they got control of the game right away, which I think was important for them. And then I think the big question for Golden State, and it was a good one, was the 9 days off. It's, you know, the rest versus rust. I thought they didn't have an edge, and I also thought that their timing wasn't quite there. That being said, it's still, you know, a very close game. It's 90-87 with 10 minutes to go in the game. So I think you'll see an adjustment by Golden State, and they'll play more like they have throughout the playoffs.
Was it them? I know you mentioned the rest, but were they at all feeling out the Raptors a little bit? Because I was surprised Steph only had 9 3-point attempts and Clay only had 6 3-point attempts.
Yeah, and you know, I think there's a number of things. Like, one, when you have a layoff like that, there's nothing that you can do that can simulate the intensity of a playoff game. So you can scrimmage, and I know they did a number of things. You try to manage it as well as you can. You probably go 2 days on, day off, 2 days on. There's going to be scrimmaging, but there's nothing that can get you to that type of intensity. And I think you saw that with Draymond. And so much of Draymond's game is feel and timing. And, you know, he had 6 turnovers, and a lot of those were just mistimed. There were plays in which the opening was there and the timing just wasn't quite right on it. And then, of course, their defense, which normally they're one of the best defensive teams in the league, they didn't play well. And defensive transition was non-existent for them, and that's not who they are. So I think you'll see that big adjustment going forward. But one of the big questions I had going into this series would be, you know, was how would they adapt to the physicality of Toronto's defense? And you have to give them credit for that defense. I thought they loaded up on Steph really well, and then they missed a lot of open shots also.
What did you think of the officiating? Because you are right. They were physical with Steph Curry off the ball, and I think he was expecting some calls but didn't get them. So how about the Zebras?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I thought they would let more go. I thought the game was called very tight. But, you know, both teams had 30-plus free throws. I would like to have seen it, you know, where I thought there were marginal calls, and maybe that's to set the tone for how the series will be called. But, you know, I think the big thing is, you know, the movement of Golden State is one of their great strengths, and I didn't think, you know, they really got to that. And they never seemed to be able to get control. Like, once Toronto started the game quickly, they got easy scores, they got the lead, they played from out front most of the entire game, and that hurt Golden State.
Tom Thibodeau here with us on CBS Sports Radio. As someone that's been around the league for a long time, and you see what Kawhi Leonard's doing right now, not only is what he's doing very special, but the way that Toronto has embraced the Raptors as of late, and you have the scene before the game, and we saw what unfolded on Thursday night. What is it like to see what's happening in Toronto right now? Because it's neat and special.
Well, I think it's great for the league. And Toronto has been, you know, a team that's had a lot of success, you know, the last 5 or 6 years. They just haven't been able to get over the hump. I thought Masai has really done a great job, some calculated risks that have really paid off for him. And the Raptors, you know, we get a guy like Kawhi, a guy with, you know, not only, you know, like experience, but successful championship experience. You add in a Danny Green, and then you pick up a Marc Gasol. That adds a lot to your team and a lot of know-how. These games aren't too big. These are guys that have been in big games before. So I think that that's been a big factor. Of course, the development of Siakam is huge for them. So, but for our league, I think it's great. You know, it's a global game. You see, you know, there's guys from all over the world in our league. You see with Team USA, the Olympics, how much the game has grown, and I think it's terrific.
When we look at the Golden State Warriors going back to the last series against the Trailblazers, they were down 17, 18, 17. And it was no problem. They were able to come back and sweep them. And those comebacks were all in games 2, 3, and 4, back to back to back. It created a conversation of, do the Warriors need Kevin Durant to win? Now, hey, we all know how good they were before Kevin Durant, but with Kevin Durant, they've been unbeatable. What's your take on that assessment, where some people may say, yeah, I don't know if they need Kevin Durant to beat the Toronto Raptors this time around?
I think it's absurd. You know, I know from having coached against them, I'd obviously much rather coach against them without Kevin. You know, you're talking about, you know, a top three player. They probably have two of the top three players in the league, you know, and it's crazy to even, the guy was averaging 36 or 37 points a game in the playoffs this year prior to his injury. So it's absurd. And I think you see, you know, where they are right now. And it's interesting. And I think they have great experience. And you mentioned it earlier. I think there was a feeling out period. You want to see, okay, how are they going to match up with people? What are they doing to Steph? You know, we saw what Golden State was doing to Kawhi with the double teams. And then how do you take advantage of that? The other interesting thing to me is basically in this game, what we saw was Toronto – playing seven guys. And so if you got to, you know, the fourth quarter, I think it was 90-87 with about 10 minutes to go when Kawhi came back in. And I think Golden State's trying to figure out right now, okay, who are we going to play? How many are we going to play? So you not only have the 9-day layoff, but you're also figuring out your rotation. So that factors into it as well. And so when Kawhi came back in with at about the 10-minute mark, they went on a run right there.
Yeah, 10-1.
And that's a big factor in that. And that gave them the separation in the fourth quarter that they needed. And so I think that you're going to see them adjust to match up maybe a little bit better, make some decisions. They had to do what they did. They had to see what, you know, where is the Marcus? What can he give us? How can we use him? So I think that was a big part of this game. There's a feeling out period to it.
Tom Thibodeau here with us on CBS Sports Radio. It's a Zach Gelb show. You know how much fans place an importance on free agency now. Sometimes free agency, and a lot of times free agency is actually more covered than what happens during the regular season. The two big names in this series, and this is not anything against Clay, but I think Clay staying with the Warriors is the unknown with the impending decision from Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. How do you evaluate their future with the big decision they have to make this summer?
Yeah, and I think that's become a big part of our league. I think, you know, our league's being talked about year-round. I think, with, you know, Adam mentioned this the other day on GetUp that, you know, like the shorter contracts has really lent itself to, you know, guys moving around. Guys are familiar with each other, whether it's through their agencies, the AAU basketball, Team USA. So they're pairing up with each other. This is part of our NBA. I think it makes it exciting. I think the fact that both of these guys are in the finals, I don't think they'll take that next step of thinking about free agency until it's over. You know, and then what are the motivating factors in your decision? You know, in Kevin's case, he's with Golden State. Does he want to go down as, you know, part of the all-time greatest team ever? With Kawhi, is he, you know, if they win a championship, does that change his thinking? I think, you know, when you look at the makeup of both of these teams, and, you know, Bob Myers has done an incredible job in Golden State, and I think Masai has done a great job in Toronto. And in Toronto's case, I think they were at the point last year where they felt that they had gone as far as they could with that group. And then they could have gone down two different paths. They could have gone down one in which they started the rebuild with the young players, or rolled the dice with Kawhi and see if he could get them there. And then, you know, if he decides that he wants to stay, that's great. If he decides that he wants to leave, they've already got another plan in place where they can go down a different path. So it was a calculated risk, and I think that's worked out. The same thing, you know, with the Warriors. And, you know, like right now, there's nothing like, you know, an NBA championship in the finals. And I think, you know, this is a very exciting series.
With the success of the Warriors, Tom Thibodeau, it really does change the way, as a fan and as a talk show host, how we break down the league. And this past year, I was able to break it down into four parts. Number one, who is going to give Golden State the best run, and can anyone take down the Warriors? Number two, the big storyline was also who is going to come out of the East post LeBron, and now we know that's the Raptors. Since we talk about LeBron, there was always coverage of the Lakers and all the dysfunction out in L.A. And then finally, maybe the most important one of them all, what's going to happen this upcoming summer as free agency, as we know, is so big and talked about all throughout the year. As a longtime coach, how do you evaluate the success and the state of the NBA right now?
It's real exciting. I think it's at its height of popularity. And I think that all the stuff that you're talking about, like when you think about Toronto, and I'm sure that factored into Masai's thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone heard whispers last year that LeBron was going to go west. And so that created an opening. Basically, LeBron had been to the finals 8 straight years. So you felt like you had to get through him. Now he was no longer in the way. They had a golden opportunity to get, no one knew where Kawhi would be because he only played in 9 games. But if you went back to, you know, the years prior, he's obviously, a top 5 talent. And he certainly has shown that and his impact on winning. And then to pick up Gasol, so that gives them an opportunity. And then you think about the decision that LeBron made to go to the Lakers. And the West is a different animal. There's 14 teams in the West that have really good records at home. They're hard to beat at home. So it's harder to make up ground, I think, in the West than it is in the East. And so I think the Lakers are in a place where they're probably going to have to get at least 2 more really good players to put them in the elite conversation in the West. And so in the West, everyone has been chasing the Warriors for a long time. And it's, you know, to beat them, you have to add a lot of talent. And you're going to have to play well on both sides of the ball.
Talking to Tom Thibodeau right now on CBS Sports Radio, the former head coach of the Chicago Bulls and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Coach, I have a few more things I want to get to on the other side of the break. So I'm going to put you on hold, hang tight with us. And when we come back, we'll talk about more NBA happenings and also your coaching future. He's Tom Thibodeau. I'm Zach Gelber, coming on back right after this on CBS Sports Radio.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. We continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's bring back on Tom Thibodeau. We just had an excellent part one of our conversation, and Coach is so kind enough to hang out here for another segment. Coach, in the last segment, though, we were talking a little bit about the Toronto Raptors and their journey. And as we all know, for so many years, they came so close, but yet so far. And now they're finally playing in an NBA Finals. When we take a look at recent memory, some other teams around the NBA have had some high expectations and haven't met them. This past year, it was the Boston Celtics. And we also know with a team like the Houston Rockets, and they've had those big-time battles with the Golden State Warriors and haven't prevailed. Moving forward here into the future, what would you do to try to address those needs that the Celtics and the Rockets have to try to get them over the hump?
Well, I think the Celtics are in a great position. I think Danny Ainge does an unbelievable job there, and Brad Stevens, terrific coach. They have great ownership. They have great stability. They have a lot of assets. They have really good young players. They have a couple stars. They have draft picks. And so I think the challenge for them this past season, they almost had too much talent. If you went back a year ago, I felt like, you know, with Kyrie was out, Gordon Hayward unfortunately had the injury. What that allowed was guys to have more of an opportunity to get into rhythm, and I thought they probably performed better that year. The challenge this year is now you have, you know, all this depth, but it's harder for guys to get into rhythm. And I felt they started to do it right at the end of the season. I thought there was a stretch where they really played well. But I think they're in a great spot to move forward. In terms of the Rockets, you know, I think that they got off to a really slow start this year, and a big part of that could be attributed to Chris Paul being out, and then they had some roster changes, and then they got on track and played well down the stretch. But they never seemed to be quite at the level they were the year before. And so I think when you look at the West now, there are a number of teams that are positioned well in terms of next year. I think you have to be concerned about what the Clippers will do in free agency, what the Lakers will do in free agency. I think Dallas has positioned themselves well to move forward. Sacramento will be better. And, of course, with Zion going to New Orleans, you have to factor them in as well.
There's a lot of noise with the Lakers. Do you think they'll eventually get it right?
Well, it's the Lakers. And, you know, you're talking about a very storied franchise. They have, you know, arguably the best player in the league in LeBron that's there. They've always been able to attract free agents. And I always say, like, to me, with free agency, it comes down to four things. It comes down to, obviously, the money first, the winning, and then who are you playing with? Who are your teammates? And then, of course, the city. So they have a lot to offer, so you can't rule them out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, too, where Jimmy Butler's going to do this summer. I know you know Jimmy for a long time, coaching him, has a good situation in Philly, but you keep on seeing those rumors with the Lakers.
Yeah, and I think all those guys, I think that, you know, they've earned the right to be free agents, and so you let it play out. And the system is geared for the team that has them to pay them the most. So I think that'll be a hard decision. But you have to weigh in those other four factors, and then you make the best decision for yourself and your family. I know the impact that, you know, Jimmy had in Minnesota, and I know the impact that he had in Philadelphia. So he's positioned himself really well. He's a terrific talent, and I think you can see what his impact in playoff games. And really, when you're judging players and you're evaluating players, I think the most important time to evaluate them is in the playoffs. It shows you what they can do, how they can think on their feet, the plays they can make, and whether they could be successful at the highest level.
In your time in Minnesota, when you reflect after being fired from there, what would you have done differently, and how have you learned after reflecting on your time in Minnesota?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very proud of what we accomplished there. When I went in there, I didn't fool myself. You know, you go into a place and there was, you know, 14 years without making the playoffs. I think it was 12 years without a winning season. And then in 2 years, we went from, you know, 29 wins to 47 wins. And that was with Butler missing half the season, you know, and getting hurt. And when Jimmy played, and people lose sight of this, we were 27-10 in the West. We had the second best record in the West 2 years ago. And it also tied a franchise record for most wins. So I was very proud of what the team accomplished. And, you know, sometimes things don't work out. And so, when I look back now, I look at all the things that we did do, and I'm very proud of what was accomplished there.
You hear so much about players when you're covering something from afar. When Jimmy came to Philadelphia, and I was around the Sixers quite a bit, I was really blown away the type of teammate he was and the way that he embraced the situation in Philadelphia. However, as you know, in Minnesota, things went south there and you guys had to move on. Is there anything you could have done differently there, you think?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. You think back to a couple of things, and he was looking more towards the future. And so, I couldn't answer that honestly. I don't know. We tried to do all that we could to make him want to stay, because obviously we knew the impact that he had. And not only him, but we had added Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose. And we felt we had some really good players, young players that were going to get a lot better And that's what I try to sell Jimmy on is, you know, when Jimmy came into the league, he was a lot like Kawhi. He started off, he came in as a defensive guy, and then every year he got significantly better to the point where he made himself into an all-star and an all-NBA player. And I felt that, 2 years ago, Cap became an all-star and an all-NBA player as well. It was the first time in the franchise history that we had two all-NBA players on the same team. So he's proud of that. And Andrew Wiggins is a young guy that's done quite a bit, and he still has a lot of room to grow. So I thought the pieces were in place to move forward. And we had Jeff Teague as well. And unfortunately, this year we had a number of injuries, but he's a very good player, and he added a lot to the club. But once we got Jimmy, it opened the door for us to get a lot of players. A lot of players wanted to play with him. So, and that's something that had not happened in Minnesota for a very long time. It probably, if you could take it back to when Kevin Garnett was there. So I knew how important it was to get a guy like Jimmy.
I'm assuming you still want to be a head coach again, right?
I do.
Yeah, when we take a look at that future, I know there's all different ways to go about it, and clearly you're very respected in the game. I saw a report that Ty Lue, when he was interested in the Lakers, had some interest of you being an assistant. Would you go that route of trying to maybe be an assistant again before becoming a head coach again?
Probably not. You know, I've known Ty for a long time. I coached him in Houston, and when he first got into coaching, we were in Boston together, so I consider him a really good friend. I still have some time on my contract. I'll be patient and just wait for the right opportunity to come along.
And then last one for you. Your coaching style is always under the spotlight. Hey, you're not the first coach to be aggressive and demanding, and I don't think you're going to be the last. What do you have to change, though, with your coaching style? Because the athlete now is different, and some athletes expect to be coddled.
Well, I think you're always, you're looking to learn and grow. You never want to stay the same. So, you want to study the trends of the game. I think you want to study, who the players are, how you motivate them, how you communicate with them, those types of things. And there's all different personalities in terms of coaching. So I think the most important thing is you have to be yourself. You have to stay true to yourself. And you have to have the things that you believe in. I think I have a pretty good understanding of what wins in this league. I'm just looking forward to the right opportunity.
Well, Coach, hey, we appreciate it. Can't wait to see you back on the sidelines. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.